Thank you for listening to another edition of WZYN's Preaching Time. This broadcast spotlights Bible preaching that will stir your heart. And now for today's Bible message, Holy, Holy, Holy by Kenny Baldwin.
And I'm thankful for the cross, aren't you?
Amen.
And I'm so glad that we don't just have to wait till Easter to talk about it.
Amen.
And I'm glad we don't have to stop talking about it when Easter's done. It's still the cross, isn't it? And what a joy it is to be here again. I want to thank you, the members here at Gospel Light, for standing faithfully behind the man of God here and for allowing a revival to go on. There are many churches where they don't want to have a revival meeting. Now, remember, now, a meeting's not revival. A meeting is just a desire to have revival. People have revival meetings and don't have revival. We need revival. Amen. We need God to meet with us, and I'm so thrilled by the opportunity to come, and I appreciate the music. And I tell you, every time I come here, it's just going to another level. And it's just exciting to see God grow the church. You know, people work hard at everything, don't they? Don't you think I ought to work hard for the Lord? You know, practicing for the Lord and preparing for the Lord and doing our best for God. God deserves so much from us. So I'm so thankful for all those who've labored on the instruments and in voice and those that are working on the sound to make all of this what God deserves. And we're thrilled for it. I appreciate the church providing me a comfortable place to stay. And a clean place to stay. How many of you know you sleep better when it's clean? All right. And I'm thankful for it. And that does not, you can't just necessarily take that for granted anymore, that everywhere is clean. I've been in some places where it wasn't, and I'm going to tell you something. They say sleep with one eye open. I slept with both of them open. All right. And I remember years ago, my wife and I, we walked to preach somewhere, and the pastor said, we've got this trailer where we put our folks up in, and my wife and I went in the trailer, and we walked in, and it wasn't long before we got in there, we saw little rat droppings all over the trailer, and so I'm just walking through the trailer thinking, how in the world am I going to stay in this trailer? And my wife's like, we ain't going to stay in this trailer. And I had to use the restroom because we'd been on the road for a little bit and flown in there. I think we were in Tallahassee area. And so I went to the bathroom to use the bathroom, and I walked into the bathroom door in the trailer, and I thought I was going to close the door behind me, and I tried to close the door of the bathroom behind me, and lo and behold, she was following me to the bathroom. All right, she was like, "You ain't leave me out here for nothing." All right, and so I went to the pastor and I said, "We can't stay here. We got to go somewhere where we don't have to stay in the Ritz-Carlton, but we can't stay with the rats." All right. And so thank you, Pastor. I haven't seen a rat yet in the room or a dropping. Just very, very comfortable and wonderful opportunity to be here. Had dinner with the pastor and his family, and I'm certainly thankful for the Warren family. I can say one thing about you at Gospel Light Baptist Church that you should be able to agree with without hesitation. You certainly have a man of God here who's genuine, that loves the Lord, loves people. And I'm so thankful for him and his dear family. Over the years, God has allowed me to be able to preach a lot of places, and I am not at all saying that because there's anything to brag on. I said to someone earlier tonight, if there's anything good about me, it's God, and that's for sure. But I'm so thankful that God has not allowed me just to preach in churches, but to build friendships. And, you know, when you go through life and it serves its ups and downs, you need good friends. Amen. And I'm so thankful that God over the years has spun my path with good friends. And we can pick up the phone or we can see each other here and there and pick up right where we left off. And the Warren family has become good friends of mine. And I'm so thankful for not only mom and dad, but for their children. And I appreciate Bryce and Bree. They're special to me. And special to my family. And I appreciate all of you at Gospel Light. I don't remember the first year I came here. Pastor, do you know? Yes, and we had a break when everybody took a break when COVID took place. And I'm just glad that I came back after the break. And just about 3 years ago, around this time in the month of March, I was in that hospital fighting for my life. And God said otherwise, and I'm thankful for that. And that he still uses me. And I'm so privileged and thrilled that he would. And I've been able to come here at this church, and I appreciate all of you that are serving faithfully in the Lord. God has a place for you here. Amen. And wherever your church is, you be faithful to the Lord and honor and serve him. We need revival. Somebody say amen to that. All over the land. All over the land. If we're not careful, we'll be looking all over America. Looking all over America. Looking at churches, looking at people, looking at situations, looking at family. Oh, they need revival. They need revival. Oh, I sure hope they get revival. Listen to this. We need revival right here. Tonight, you ask God to start revival in your heart. Start revival in my heart. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Reading in Jeremiah 29. Ye shall search for me, and ye shall find me when you search for me with your whole heart. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. And everyone that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. James 4, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. As the hart panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Jeremiah was discouraged and depressed. He said, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of thy mercies that we are not consumed, because thy compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a crazy world. I looked on the news today, another mass shooting somewhere at a bank today. This world ain't going to get better, but I'm going to tell you, as bad as it is, we still got a good God. Amen. And he's faithful. And he's true. We were listening to them sing just a few moments ago. Tell me a time when he hasn't been faithful. Tell me a morning his mercies aren't new. Hasn't he been good to us? So tonight I pray that he speaks to all of us, speaks through me and to me for God's glory and for our good. Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Isaiah chapter 6, would you? Isaiah chapter number 6. And if you are physically able to stand to your feet for the reading of God's word, I certainly would appreciate it. Isaiah chapter number 6. Aren't you glad you got a Bible tonight? Somebody say amen to that. Just about everywhere you go, you turn on the television, you walk into somewhere, somebody's saying some opinion. Somebody's giving his spin. Somebody's giving his angle. Somebody's giving his theory. Somebody's giving his perception. Somebody's giving his or her preference. And everybody's got an opinion on everything. But ladies and gentlemen, when we open the Bible, we're not listening to an opinion. We're listening to God's word. And God's word's not an opinion. It's fact. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 6. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw so the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. Let the church say amen. Amen. Our Father, we pray you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing, I pray. Use the Bible as you have time and time again. Bind the forces of Satan. Put a hedge of protection about this place. May he in no way hinder the work of the Holy Ghost of God. What's going on at Gospelite Baptist Church? The devil does not like it, but I'm glad tonight we're not here to please the devil. We're here to please Almighty God. I pray for every person under the sound of my voice. I pray that every ear might be open, every heart might be attentive, every mind might be engaged as you speak to us tonight. Lord, you you have something to say. I pray, God, you help us tonight. May this not be a sermon from a briefcase, but may it truly be a word from the Lord. Up the road, about 3 hours or so, would you watch over my precious wife and my family while I'm gone? Would you take me back to them just as safe and sound as they were when I left them? And for all of this, we'll give you the praise and honor and glory that's due your holy name, for we ask it in the mighty, wonderful, priceless, matchless, beautiful, sweet, holy name of Jesus, our Savior, your Son. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. After the reign of King Solomon, who was son of David, the nation of Israel became a divided nation. Understand that these folks were God's chosen people, still are. God chose them not for their greatness, but he chose them because of his own greatness. Israel was chosen for this reason. God wanted to make himself known to them so that they would make him known to the world. Let me say that again. God wanted to make himself known to Israel so that Israel would make him known to the world. This is not the message tonight, but I want to remind you of something. God wants to make himself known to you so that you will make him known to the world. Somebody say amen. Your co-workers need to know God. Your family needs to know God. Your friends need to know God. Your classmates need to know God. Your neighbors need to know. How are you going to make him known if you don't know him yourself? Aren't you glad for those of us that understand Jesus? We know that yesterday wasn't about pretty dresses and fancy suits. It wasn't about candy. It wasn't about chocolate. It wasn't about bunnies. And it wasn't about eggs. And by the way, I'm all for candy. I'm all for chocolate. I'm all for eggs. I'm all for nice suits and pretty dresses. But I'm glad yesterday wasn't about that. It was about a Savior who hung and bled and suffered for our sins, beaten, bruised, belittled, and brutalized beyond recognition of a man. Buried in a borrowed tomb. But 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. Aren't you glad he's alive? Here's the divided nation of Israel. The northern kingdom, 10 tribes. The southern kingdom, 2 tribes. So to the north, 10 tribes. To the south, 2 tribes. And in the northern kingdom, there were kings that ruled. In the southern kingdom, there were kings that ruled as well. In the northern kingdom, every king that ruled in the northern kingdom of Israel was an evil king. When the king began to reign, the scripture would read something like this. And this king began to reign, and this is what the scriptures say. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. Of every king in the northern kingdom. How many tribes in the northern kingdom? Everybody say 10 tribes. 10 tribes in the northern kingdom. Every king that ruled in that kingdom was an evil king. Now listen, he did that which was evil. Now you know what that tells me? Whether or not I do right or wrong is up to me. Whether or not you do right or wrong is up to you. These kings got on the throne and they decided to do evil. In the southern kingdom, most of them did evil, but there were some that did right. In some of their lives, this was written of them, and he did that which was right in the sight of God. Doesn't it do your heart good to hear when somebody does right? Amen. I mean, John said, I have no greater joy than my children walk in truth. Parents want their kids to do right. Amen. Pastors want their members to do right. Family wants their family members to do right. Brothers ought to want their brothers to do right. Sisters ought to want their sisters and their brothers to do right. Those of us that are Christians ought to want other Christians to do right. We're living in a day and age where very few people want to do right. But if you're here tonight on a Monday night at Gospel Light Baptist Church in April of 2023, I want to tell you something. When you decide to come to church tonight, you did right. Amen. You did right. No question about it. One of the kings in the southern kingdom that did right was King Uzziah. Can everybody say that with me? King Uzziah. Come on, let's have class tonight. King Uzziah. Here's what's written of Uzziah when he began to reign. He did that which was right in the sight of God. You can find details about this in 2 Kings 15 or in 2 Chronicles chapter number 26. Here's what the Bible said he did that was right. He sought the Lord. Say amen if you think seeking the Lord is right. He fought wars for God. Say amen if you think that's right.
He defeated the Philistines who were enemies of God. Say amen if you think that's right. He fortified cities for the people of God. Say amen if you think that's right. He was a general for the armies of God. Say amen if you think that's right. Listen to me. Fighting for God, on the behalf of God, with the people of God, against the enemies of God, for the glory of God. I say amen to it myself. That's right. But later in his life, he went from right to wrong. Bible says he got caught up in pride. We're talking at the table tonight at how some great athletes are doing well and all of a sudden they just fall off. You don't hear of them anymore. And we all agreed that the reason why they were so good and went from so good to so bad is they got so full of pride. Pride coming for destruction and a haughty spirit for fall. And here's a man that came into the kingdom, came into the palace, and he's doing right. I mean, he's fighting for God and he's living for God and he's building cities for God and he's seeking after God and he's defeating the enemies of God and he's fighting wars for God and he's fortifying cities and he's a general for God's army. He's doing right in a land where not many kings had done right. Look, Uzziah, we're cheering for you. We're rooting for you. You're doing right. You're honoring God and God is blessing you for it. Say amen if you believe God blesses you when you do right. Sure, that's what's happening. But then all of a sudden, he goes into the temple while he's lifted up in pride. He begins to offer incense in the temple, which only the priests are supposed to do. And a man that started off doing right, all of a sudden started doing wrong. Please listen tonight. This is not the message. But just because you did right yesterday doesn't mean you automatically do right today. Just because you did right today doesn't mean you automatically do right tomorrow. You got to decide every day, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do right. Uzziah did right when he decided to do right, and he did wrong when he decided to do wrong. He got leprosy, and ultimately he died doing wrong. Well, during the reign of Uzziah, God raised up a prophet who was ministering to the people during that time. The prophet's name was Isaiah. The ministry of the prophet in the Old Testament was a very imperative, distinct one. Tonight, we're sitting in church in April of 2023. We have Bibles in our hands. Hold your Bibles up. Hold your Bibles up. Hey, listen. You ain't holding up Jet Magazine. You ain't holding up ESPN. You ain't holding up Chip and Joanna. Listen. This is not Oprah's matter. Listen, this is the holy word of God. Amen. From cover to cover, it's written by Almighty God. It's the truth, inspired, breathed by God, infallible. It can't fail, inerrant. It has no errors in it. It's God's word given to us by revelation from the mind of God, given to God through, given from God through men by inspiration. Hey, kept by God when people tried to destroy it, that's preservation. It shows us how to live through the Holy Spirit's illumination. Amen. And you and I can put it into practice by application. There's nothing like the Bible. Somebody say amen for the Bible. There was no Bible then. So for people to hear from God, they had to hear from the prophet. So God spoke to the prophet and the prophet spoke to the people. As a matter of fact, you could tell that the prophet was fake if what he said didn't come true. Because if it didn't come true, it sure didn't come from God. Can I get an amen? So Isaiah was a prophet. God had raised up to speak to the people exactly what God said to him. And Isaiah enjoyed the ministry of prophecy alongside the ruler Uzziah. And when Uzziah was doing right and Isaiah was talking right, Isaiah could enjoy that I'm talking right and Uzziah is ruling right and we got a 1-2 tandem together. He's doing right on the throne. I'm doing right in the house of God. And together we can work together for God. What a joy it must have been for Isaiah to serve during the reign of Uzziah while both of them were doing right. Can you imagine pastoring and the president did right and the vice president did right and the Congress did right and the Supreme Court did right and the House of Representatives did right and every senator did right and every mayor did right and every policeman did right? Could you imagine ruling? Could you imagine preaching while everybody in charge were doing right? We're never going to experience that until Jesus sits on the throne. But I tell you something, for a while, Isaiah got to preach in a pulpit while the king on the throne was doing right. Say amen to that. As delightful as it was for Uzziah to do right, it was equally disappointing
when Uzziah did wrong. And Isaiah watched it. He watched this guy start right and end wrong, start well and end bad. And he dies in the misery, not only of leprosy, but in the misery of pride. This is the stage set when Isaiah 6 is penned. This king who Isaiah once looked at it in admiration and great affinity, who was sitting on the throne and doing right. And Isaiah must have thought, I get to serve alongside of not only my leader, but my friend and my fellow servant of God. He's doing right. And Isaiah says, oh no, now he's doing wrong. He's gone to the temple. He's offered incense and God's got a judgment. Now he dies. And Isaiah is suffering from discouragement and disillusionment and despair and distress because the king who sat on the throne, who once did right, now did wrong, and now is dead. Isaiah said, I look at that throne, and guess what? Guess what's there? Nobody's there. The one who used to be there isn't there, and the one that was there wasn't doing right anymore. How discouraged Isaiah was when who he looked at didn't do right anymore.
But in chapter 6, he said, when I looked at that throne and the man that used to do right who started doing wrong was dead, he said, God showed up in a vision and I looked at another throne and there was a whole different man sitting there. He said, in that year the Uzziah died. In a spirit of disappointment and discouragement, in a spirit of disillusionment, Isaiah said, I saw the throne. I saw somebody sitting on the throne. And that one sitting on that throne never did wrong, never failed, never messed up, never moved from his place, never disappointed. Oh, Uzziah disappointed me, but not that man there. Oh, Uzziah fell, but not that man there. Oh, Uzziah messed up, but not that one there. Oh, Uzziah had pride, but not that one there. Oh, Uzziah stepped out of his lane, but not that one there. When I was discouraged over a man, God showed me somebody who was better than just a man. Isaiah said, I saw Jesus. Tonight we're here on a Monday night living in a world that often serves us disappointment. I can't tell you, Pastor, how many people I talk to on a regular basis who don't want to come to church anymore because they have been hurt by people in church. And there's a buzzword going around, church hurt, church hurt, church hurt, church hurt. And I don't want to go to church anymore because church hurt me. Let me tell you something, church may have hurt you, but Jesus ain't never hurt you. The problem is not that church is full of people that hurt us. The problem is we're too busy looking at people and not looking at somebody who will never hurt us. I've come here on a Monday night in April 2023 to tell you we got to get our eyes off our Uzziahs. We got to get our eyes off of preachers and get our eyes off of people and get our eyes off of politicians and get our eyes off of money and get our eyes off of our dreams and get our eyes off of our plan and get our eyes off of ourselves. And tonight we need to come in Gospel Light Baptist Church. We need to see what Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6. He said, I see him. I see him. I see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I see Jesus. Oh, my goodness, he looks good. Ain't nobody like him. Ain't nobody come close to him. Can't nobody compare to him. Ladies and gentlemen, you want revival in your life tonight? You got to see Jesus like Isaiah saw. When's the last time you saw him? We're so busy. We're so preoccupied, aren't we? We'll go home tonight, we'll turn the sports on and see who won the game. We'll turn the news on and see what the Democrats said and see what the Republicans said and see what the Independents said and see what the Liberals said and see what the Conservatives said. Hey, listen to me. They're all crazy. Look at Jesus. And it's not that they're bad people. It's that they're human. And humans can't do but so good because we're shapen in sin and conceived in iniquity. I'll tell you what I want to do for the next couple of days while I'm here in the Lynchburg area. I want my eyes fastened on Jesus. I want to see him. Oh, Peter, James, and John went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. They said the glow came down upon Jesus. It was so bright. It was so amazing that it overshadowed him. There was Moses. There was Elijah. And Peter said, let's take three booths.
booths, and let's build one. One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus. And all of a sudden, God spoke up. And when God spoke up, Elijah was gone and Moses was gone. And they looked up, and Peter, James, and John saw nobody but Jesus. And God said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." You know what God was saying? Don't look at Moses. He's a good man. Don't look at Elijah. He's a good man. But you better look at Jesus. He's the God man. Peter writes later on in his epistle, he said, we saw that glow about him. It was such an, Peter was an eyewitness of his majesty on the Mount of Transfiguration. And some of us are sitting here tonight saying, "Preacher, you're telling us we need to look at Jesus. We wish we were there with Peter on that mountain. And if we could climb up and actually see Jesus in person." I mean, if God would just put a big Jesus in the sky in Lynchburg tonight, if we could just see his hands and see his feet and see his brow that had been pierced through with those, if we could have just been at that grave where he wasn't there anymore, if we could have seen him in that upper room when he walked through the door and appeared and said to the disciples, "Peace be still." If we were in person with Peter, James, and John, we'd truly get a vision of Jesus. You know what Peter said in his epistle? He said, "I saw him firsthand." He said, "But I'll tell you something, we have a more sure word of prophecy." Here's what he's saying: as good as he looked in person, he even looks better through the Bible. So tonight, with the help of the Bible, I want you to see him. I want you to see him tonight. Somewhere in the message, I want me to disappear. I want you to see him. You see, when Isaiah saw Jesus in Isaiah 6, his life would never be the same. He was forever changed, forever transformed, forever metamorphosized. His life would never be what it was before. Why? He got a good look at the King. I'm asking you tonight, can you see? Follow Isaiah chapter 6 and see what happened when Isaiah saw the King tonight. It's the same process that will happen when you see him tonight. Number one, recognized supremacy. Recognized supremacy. Notice his high attention. Verse number one, "I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne." Are you in Isaiah 6:1 with me, church? Follow along with me. "I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne." Next several words, say with me, "high and lifted up." Say it again, "high and lifted." Hey, listen, recognize supremacy. Listen, you know, Isaiah looked up and said, yeah, he's all that, amen. He's all that and so, and guess where he was looking? He said, "I saw him high and lifted up." Maybe you're here tonight and you say, "I can't see him. I can't see Jesus like I should. I'm too busy. I'm too caught up in my job. I'm too preoccupied with what's going on. I've got too much going on in my life to look at you." Maybe you can't see him because you're looking straight ahead. Maybe you can't see him because you're looking down. Maybe you can't see him because you're looking back. Maybe you can't see him because you're looking around. See, the only way you're going to spot the Jesus of Isaiah 6, you got to look up, amen? Listen, he's not the hippie that Hollywood tries to make him be. He's not a contender or a pretender with Muhammad or Buddha or another religious leader. He's not just a prefix to your cuss word or a butler you ring the bell for when you get thirsty. He's not someone whose name you call on when you stump your toe or when you have nobody. He's not a bailout plan. He's not 911. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And hear me now, I don't care what the world does, he's still high and lifted up. Amen. Notice the high attention. Notice the humbled angels, the seraphims stood above. Verse 2. If we're ranking angels tonight here on Monday night, we've got to rank seraphims pretty high, I would think. If there's a hierarchy of angels, surely the seraphims are somewhere near the top. If for nothing else, they have 6 wings. That's pretty impressive. But the scripture enumerates what they do with 6 wings. They fly with 2 of them. Somebody say, duh. I got those 2. With the other 2, they cover their feet. But with the last 2, they cover their face. I said, Jesus, he's high and lifted up. I see high attention. He said, but I see humbled angels. Watch this now. These are angels. That's where they hang all the time. That's where they spend their every day. That's what they're used to. They dwell in his presence all the time. He said, but that Jesus I saw right there was so amazing that angels that are around him every day had to cover their eyes. No.
You ain't looking at Jesus if you ain't humble. I'm here. Hey, everybody, I'm here. Pastor, stop the service. I showed up tonight. I'm here, church. I haven't been here since Christmas, but I'm back for Easter. I'm here. I call them priestess. They come two times a year, walk in their brand new outfit. Dun, 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 dun. It's like, y'all ought to be glad I'm here. I said, wrong. You ought to be glad God knew you were coming and he came anyway. Where's our humility? I said, where's our humility? The word of God gets preached and people fool around and laugh and play around, and the songs of Zion get sung and people have no shame and they have no humility before them. They walk in the house of God and it's almost like they're walking into some club or walking into some gymnasium, and yet they go down the road to some concert and some man that God creates sings a song and plays the instrument and they scream and they spend money like that man is a... Ladies and gentlemen, we got it mixed up. We're worshiping the created instead of the Creator. He said, I saw high attention. I saw humbled angels. I saw a holy articulation. Let's get one of these microphones and let's interview these angels. I mean, gracious. I mean, if anybody's got some powerful descriptive words to talk about Jesus, it's the angels. I mean, these are seraphims. These are ministering angels that stand before him. I'd like to get a first-hand interview with one of these seraphims. And I'd like one of these seraphims who gets to hang around the throne of God all the time to just give me just a brief interview on how you can describe that Jesus on the throne. And Isaiah must be ready to hear what those seraphims had to say. And it's almost as if they put the microphone up to the seraphim and they can't come up with nothing to say but this: holy, holy, holy. What a God. What a God. What a God. No. When you look at Jesus and you see carnality, you're looking at the wrong Jesus. When you look at Jesus and you see worldliness, you're looking at the... Listen, when you look at Jesus and you see sin okay, you're looking at the wrong... No. Isaiah said, I saw those angels up there. And guess what they said? Holy, holy, holy. And by the way, I like how the Bible puts it three times. The triune God. Holy for God the Father. Holy for God the Son. Holy for God the Holy Ghost. You know what it means? Marked off, distinct, different, altogether pure. Aren't you glad that the Jesus we serve is still holy? The hovering aura. The hovering aura. He said his train filled the temple. Verse 1. He said the whole earth is full of his glory. Verse 3. He said the post of the door moved at the the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. When have you ever seen a king with a robe that filled the whole temple? I tell you, haven't seen it, because ain't nobody like him. Amen. I'm asking you, is he hovering over you? Does he fill your mind? Does he fill your family? Does he fill your home? Does he fill your speech? Does he fill your thoughts? Does he fill your plans? Does he fill your goals? Does he fill your desires? Or is he just a small compartment of your life? Ladies and gentlemen, when you get a good glimpse of Jesus, like Isaiah saw, he just fills the place. When he gets into a church, he fills the place. When he gets into a mind, he fills the place. When he gets into your plans, he fills your place. Listen to me, senior. I know you're going to graduate and go to school somewhere, but when Jesus gets into your plans, it's not about your school and your plans and your goal and your life. Young lady, it's not about your colors and your wedding and your person you want to marry and your career you want to have. When Jesus gets in your mind, he takes over the whole thing. Yeah. Recognized supremacy. If Isaiah's looking at Jesus and he responds to what he sees, I think tonight he would respond this way. Last time Jesus made you say wow? We're not wowed anymore. At least not about him. Listen, We're wowed about everything but him. And by the way, anybody that wows you, Jesus should wow you more, because that somebody that wows you, Jesus made him. Recognize supremacy. Notice number two. This led him to a realized status. First number five. Then said I.
Huh?
See, watch this now. You can't get to the then in verse number five unless you get to the wow in verses 1 through 4. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to get you to understand something. Please hear me tonight. You'll never see yourself right till you first see Jesus right. He said, look at him. Please, ladies and gentlemen, through the pages of Scripture, with the help of the Holy Ghost of God tonight, I know we're in Evington, Virginia. I know we're not where Isaiah was. I know we're not at the foot of the cross in Jerusalem. I know we're not in the upper room. I know we're not at the Mount of Transfiguration, but we're here tonight, and God is letting us through the pages of Scripture. Look at his holy son, Jesus. Look at him tonight. Doesn't he look good? Doesn't he look amazing? Doesn't he look holy? Do you see what Isaiah saw? Then say what Isaiah said. Oh, but watch this now. Once Isaiah said wow about Jesus, he looked at himself and then he said, whoa.
That's good.
Look at me just a moment tonight. We're too impressed with us. Well, look. We look too good to ourselves. We can't get revival because we look too good. We think too much of us. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't think that much of you if you think that much of him. Oh, Pastor, there's nothing wrong with me. Our marriage doesn't need improvement. I'm a teenager. I don't need to be more respectful to my parents. I'm a single adult. I don't need to have a better life before God brings my spouse into my life. I'm a church member. I don't need to give more. I'm a Christian. I don't need to read my Bible more. I don't need to pray more. Yeah. You keep saying you don't need to do more because you're comparing yourself with somebody that's less than you are. You get a look at that throne, and I'll tell you something. You'll never be happy about yourself because you're too happy about him. If I'm ranking great Christians in the Bible, I've got to put Job pretty high. Don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, this godly man in the East feared God, hated evil. Look, you know you're doing right when God recommends you to the devil. I mean, walking around. Isn't that like the devil? Doesn't the Bible tell us in the New Testament? He walketh about roaring like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he comes up to the throne of God. And it appears in Job that God was giving him access to come up to his throne. And he's like, David, Satan, where have you been? Oh, just going to and fro, just trying to find somebody to mess with, old lion, murdering, fallen angel, just looking for somebody. That's why you need to walk with God, because the devil's looking for somebody to mess with, and you ain't walking with God, you'll be that somebody.
I'm looking for somebody to mess with.
And here goes God. Have you thought about messing with my man Job? I mean, he didn't say it like that, but I'm preaching this message. Hast thou considered my servant Job? Watch this stuff. The only reason he's serving you, because you've put a hedge of protection about him. God, in so many words, said, I'll move it and he'll still serve me. Hey, listen to me. You know you are ready for the job when you fill out an application and put God's name down as a reference. And they call him and it gets verified. So can we all agree? Job's a good Christian. Chapter 42, Brother Watson. He gets to the end of the story. And Job's testifying in chapter 42. He said about God, mine eye has seen the Almighty One. That's what Job testified about in chapter 42. After losing all 10 of his kids, after going through all those bodily ailments, after his wife telling him to curse God and die, after his three friends turned on him and said, "You're in sin," after that horrific circumstances, one right after the other that Job went through, Job said, "Through this process, mine eyes did see God." This is a godly man. Listen how this godly man responded after he said, "Mine eyes have seen God." Listen to me. "I abhor myself. I hate myself."
Look at me tonight, on Monday night. How in the world can the most godly man in all of the Old Testament say, "I look at God and I hate myself," and we that are much less godly be so in love with ourselves? You want revival tonight? Look at Jesus well enough to start looking at yourself real enough and saying, "The wow in him brings out the woe in me." What did the woe say? "It's an unworthy conviction. Woe is me. It's an undone confession. I'm undone. It's an unclean contrition. I'm unclean." He says, "I'm undone. I'm unworthy. I'm unclean." Ladies and gentlemen, we sit here on a Monday night. When we seek God, we recognize there's more work that needs to be done with me. I need to pray more. I need to go more. I need to give more. I need to worship better. I need to be a better husband, better wife, better child, better church member. God, the more I look at Jesus, the less I think of myself, the better I see him, the worse I see me. The higher he is, the lower I am. The more he does right, the more I want to do right. God, the reason why I don't have revival, I'm looking all around, looking at everybody else, seeing everybody else's faults. Let me look at Jesus and see where I'm unworthy, I'm unclean, and I'm undone. Oh, how miserable Isaiah must have. I messed up. I got saved when I was 4. I started preaching when I was 9. I've preached all over this globe. Read through the Bible a couple times a year. I'm in church more than most of all of you. Because I go to my church, then I come to your church, then I go back to my church, then I go to somebody else's church. I mean, I was in church yesterday morning at 6:30, and I went back to church at 11 o'clock, and now I'm at church tonight, and I'm going to church tomorrow morning, I'm going to church tomorrow night, and I'm going to church Wednesday night, then I'm going to go to another church for next week, and then I'm going to go to my church on Sunday, and then another church the next week. Listen, I'm in church. Let me tell you something. I'm in church more than all of you probably, but let me tell you something. No matter how much I'm in church, how long I've been preaching, how early I got saved, when I look at Jesus, there's work to be done. Isaiah must have felt miserable. I'm unworthy, I'm unclean, I'm undone. My unworthy conviction, my undone confession, my unclean contrition. His head must have dropped, but just as he probably was demoralized, one of those angels took one of those hot coals off the fire and took those tongs and put it on his lips. And he went from an unworthy condition to an undone confession to an unclean contrition to an unbelievable correction. God said, "I'll show you my son, so I'll show you how bad you are. But once I show you how bad you are, I'll take my own cleansing and I'll make you better." Aren't you glad God's not just the mirror to show us how bad we are? Amen. But aren't you glad he's the makeup to fix us up? And when that hot coal hit his lips, he heard something say, "You're cleansed." Tonight you look at Jesus, and if you see something about yourself you don't like because it's real, rest assured, the same Jesus that showed you you're bad is the same Jesus that can make you good. The unbelievable correction brought him to an unhindered commission. Watch this now. Now he's ready. He's ready to be used. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not that God doesn't want to use us. It's that he can't use us until we're clean. Wow. Recognize the purpose. Whoa. Realized status. But then lastly, ready surrender.
Look at verse number 8. Also. And watch this now. After correction always comes commission. Did you hear me? After correction. Listen, God does not fix you up so you can be on the stage as a trophy that looks good. God fixed you up so you can get in the game and do something for him. You didn't listen. Ain't nobody wash your jersey so you can sit on the bench and look good. They wash your jersey so you can get in the game and dirty that thing up. Amen. God's not cleaning us so that we can be trophies for him, so we can just look good. God's getting us right so we can be commissioned, we can be used by him so he can look good. Also, I heard. Here's what ready surrender involves. A heard voice. Ladies and gentlemen, when God cleans us, we can hear him. When God cleans us, we can hear him. Some of you sitting here tonight say, I don't hear God talking to me. I don't hear God telling me. I read my Bible and it seems like I don't hear anything. I go to church, seems like I don't hear anything. I hear people saying, God spoke to me, God spoke to me, God spoke to me. God's moving in my heart, and Pastor, I'm looking for it, but I can't hear him. I can't sense him moving. It doesn't seem like he's doing anything in my life. Go look at him. See who he is. Go look at yourself. See who you are. Let the one that impressed you be the one that cleans you. After you look at him, you look at yourself, he reveals how bad you are and then makes you how good you need to be. Guess what? You'll hear him then. It's amazing how clear you hear when you get that wax out your ear. Oh, what it must have felt like to hear the voice of the Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. You know what Jonah must have thinking? Boy, he sure sounds good after I got out that whale's belly. Hey, listen. I wonder how God would sound to you tonight if you came to this altar and got cleaned up. Oh, well, listen, you don't have to be immoral. You don't have to be an adulterer. You don't have to be a gangbanger or a drug pusher. Just have pride, bitterness, rebellion, gossip, unforgiveness, grudges. Any of it is just as dirty as murder and rape is.
That's right. That's right.
Same stuff that put Jesus on the cross. He said, I heard. It's a heard voice. I say it when you got a heard voice, tell me what the next thing you got was, Isaiah. He said it went from a heard voice to a huge void. What was the void? He said, the voice said, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? He said, I heard him. It was no question in my mind. It was God speaking. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? What do you mean us? Holy, 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 Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the triune God, speaking. And what was God looking for? Somebody to go represent me. Somebody go on your job. Somebody go in your school. Somebody go in your neighborhood. Somebody go on your social media. Somebody go in America. Somebody go in downtown Lynchburg. Somebody go in the shopping malls. Somebody that God can use. He's looking in this church tonight. He didn't bring us here to give each other 5 dap or to see how each other's doing. He brought us here tonight because he's looking for somebody that he can use out of this place to go back in that world and tell them that our God is high and lifted up. He said there was a heard voice. It was a huge void. But here's what I like. Isaiah says, here am I, said me. There was a humble volunteer. Volunteerism is dying. I said it's dying. You can't get nobody to do nothing unless you offer them something. Come on, keep it real, say amen. All right, church, we're going to go soul winning visitation, but before we go, we're going to have Krispy Kreme donut. You know why? They ain't coming unless you have something. Whoever brings the most people to church wins something. We're going to have a big function tonight. We'll be serving dinner first. You got to reward people to do what they're supposed to be volunteering to do. I'll tell you why you got to pull teeth to get people to live for God. They haven't seen him. Send me. Pastor, can I teach? Can I sing? Can I help on the soundboard? Can I clean the building? Could I go pick up kids? Could I teach in the class? Could I start a prayer group? Could we fast for revival? Could we go visit the nursing homes? Can we start a prison ministry? No. Most time we got to go find them. Hey, teenagers, all y'all that are playing around there, we need some people to help us break down the tables. Hey, listen, if that 16, 17, 15-year-old had gotten up that morning looking at Jesus, you wouldn't have to tell him to break down tables. He'll see tables that are standing up on four legs, and he'll be saying, where do you want me to put them? We're not looking at it. We're playing church. And we've gotten so good at it. We're impressive. Where are the Isaiahs? Ladies and gentlemen, this guy wasn't a backslider. This guy wasn't a betrayer like Judas. He wasn't a doubter like Thomas. He wasn't a denier like Peter. He was a major prophet that wrote more about Jesus than any other Old Testament prophet. But as good as he wasn't what he needed to be till he saw Jesus. And it amazes me that this same man that had already written five chapters up to this point, he saw Jesus in chapter 6, chapter 7. He said, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel. He's Jesus, and he shall be God with us. Chapter 9, he said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He got to 52. He said, his visage will be so marred, you can't even tell he's a human being. Chapter 53, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes you are healed. Chapter 54, sing, O barren one, and sing in response to the resurrection of God. He wrote five chapters, didn't have much to say about Jesus at all. He saw Jesus in chapter 6 and couldn't quit talking about him. You'll get a good look at him tonight on Monday night at Gospel Baptist Church, Gospel Light Baptist Church. You'll go to work, you won't be able to stop talking about him. You'll get on social media, you won't be able to stop talking about him. You'll get around your friends, you won't be able to stop talking. They'll see you come and say, you better get out of here, because he's going to come talking about Jesus again. Let me tell you something. When you get a good look out of him, over him, on him, you see him, you can't get enough of him.
That's right.
His eyes pretty good, isn't he? Fortified cities. General over the armies. Sought the Lord, defeated God's enemies. Pretty good king, but the best of men will disappoint you. But Jesus, mama, there goes that man. What a God. What a man. He'll never disappoint you. See him tonight. I know we saw the choir sing. I know we saw the instrumentalist play. I know we saw the pastor give announcements. I know you see the preacher preaching. But can you see him? You say, how do I know I see him? Recognize supremacy. Wow. Realized status. Whoa. Ready? Surrender. Whatever you want me to do. Only a good look at Jesus does all of that. Our Father, tonight we come before you. So desperately needing to see you. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. I want us to be honest tonight. Come on, this is revival. We can't be playing games, right? I wonder how many of you say tonight, preacher, I know that I'm saved. I have Bible reasons to prove it. I know I'm going to heaven. Only if you know it, would you put your hand up? I know that I'm saved. I have Bible reasons to prove it. I know it. Put your hands down. Now, of every one of you that just raised your hand, listen, it's honesty time. Now, hear me now. How many say, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but I'm going to tell you something, preacher. I need a good look at him. I want to see him tonight. Would you put your hand up? I want to see him tonight. I want to see Jesus for who he is. Oh, I want to see him. Hands all over the room. You say, preacher, what happens next? No, I don't need to tell you. You see him, he'll fix it. He'll tell you. Let me ask you one more question. How many say, preacher, I'm not 100% sure if I died tonight I'd go to heaven. But I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Please pray for me. I'm not 100% for sure if I died tonight I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you hold your hand up and let me pray for you? Anybody like that? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Would raise your hand just long enough for me to see it so I can pray for you. Anybody at all? I'll wait just a moment. Then by your testimony tonight, you're saved in this room. Now, are you going to see him? Hey, when you look at him and you see how he is, doesn't he look good? Now, when you look how good he looks, well, we got a lot of work to do, don't we? In the spirit of revival, my prayer is that every sincere Christian who's looking at Jesus tonight will come tonight to the altar and let him make you more like him. So then you can be ready for his use and volunteer. Here am I. Send me. Let's stand together. Lord, would you take this invitation and do what only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. If God spoke to you tonight, I'm asking you, while the piano plays, to step right out your seat. Come on. You said, God spoke to me. Why don't you come and talk to God? Tell him. Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing. Whatever, God. Some of you others, put your hand up tonight. Would you mind the Lord? Some of you might be here tonight and say, I don't even know what he wants me to do. Just look at him. Listen for his voice. How about it? Every spiritual problem we have is connected to our view of Jesus. How do people that once served him wake up one day and quit? They take their eyes off of him. God, renew my vision tonight. God, renew this church to see you high and lifted up again. You pray as long as God's speaking to you.
He'll make you better if you see him. Oh, God. Now listen, he doesn't get you to woe to leave you there. He don't want you to spend the rest of your life just walking with your head down. Oh, God can never use me. No. The way up is always down. You got to go down before God can pick you up. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Some others are still praying. Let's let them pray as long as they need to. May God get some volunteers tonight. Listen, the child of God who's enamored with Jesus is looking for something to do. Oh, they're the easiest church members to pastor that are looking for something to do. Here am I. Send me. God's still speaking to your heart. You can still come. If you're on the altar, you could stay as long as you need to. Or if that was you on the altar talking to God, you wouldn't want somebody rushing you, would you? As your child, your daddy, your daughter, your sister, your mama, you'd want them to get what they need from God, wouldn't you? It's hard to find any brokenness anymore, house of God. Listen, we can browbeat people all we want to. We can fuss them out. We can tell them off. We can rebuke them. You know what breaks a man down? A good look at Jesus. Good look. You see, some people look at them and they're not changed. They didn't really see him. Find me somebody in Scripture that got a good look at the glory of God who didn't change. That man Legion had so many demons. We don't know how many, but I tell you what, when the demons came out of him, it went into a couple thousand swine. So it's possible that man had a couple thousand demons in him. He was naked. He was running around crazy, sleeping in the cemetery, chained up and broke loose. The first time he ever saw Jesus, he ran up to him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him and said, "Thou Son of the Most High God." Now you explain to me how a crazy man that's naked, sleeping in the cemeteries, can see Jesus for the first time and run up to him and worship him. And we got religious people who've studied their religions for years and can't even call him the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar threw three innocent boys into the fiery furnace. Woke up in the middle of the night, looked around, said, "Didn't we throw in three tied up? I see four loose. And the fourth one looks like the Son of Man." Who told him what Jesus looked like? Nobody. He saw him for the first time and he knew who he was. There's something different about that man. Something different. Look up tonight, church. Before you go to bed tonight, take a look at Jesus. Get up tomorrow morning. Take a look at Jesus. You'll never be the same.
You just enjoyed listening to Holy, 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 a Bible message by Kenny Baldwin. Tune in tomorrow at the same time to hear more good Bible preaching. Also visit WZYN.org to download this message and many more.